was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. In the distance, sabers rattle, and the armies train for battle as the beast prepares his mark. There's an unseen hand that
welcome back! Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcast Network. Folks, I've been asked by many people, what and who is that song that you play in the beginning of your show? And I say to them, Charlie Daniels, Behold a Pale Horse. And let me tell you something, there is a biblical man right there. I don't agree with Charlie on everything, but I do agree with him on many things. And that song has got to be one of the most powerful songs I've heard written in a very long time, as the beast prepares to make his mark. And that is a fact, is what we're looking at with this unlawful federal jurisdiction. People call us anti-government, anti-government. Allow me to tell you that we are quite absolutely not anti-government whatsoever. We are pro-republic, the republic form of government that was established, the authority that we vested in these representatives. How did we vest this authority in them? Because it's derived from the people. We are the government. It doesn't mean that, well, we select these couple guys and then we're stuck with everything that they do. No, that is not what it means. It means that we have given them, granted them, the authority to do what they do for a specific and limited reason and purpose, to protect the lives and liberty of the people, to enforce the Constitution that is a restraint upon them, the representatives. See, people have this idea of the Constitution that it grants us something. I have this conversation with people when they say, well, my Second Amendment rights, excuse me, stop. The Second Amendment itself gives and grants you absolutely nothing. The Second Amendment is a restriction upon government as to where they cannot tread. See, people have this idea that has been fed into their brains about the Constitution that somehow your rights come from a piece of paper. That is not so. Your rights come from God, as according to the Constitution, from your Creator. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these rights, you get it? This is the language that, for some reason, is smacked out of the head of the people, and they're told that, you know, that this can be altered. You know, they can just change the Second Amendment, and that changes our rights. That's just not so. So anyway, I'm getting up on a soapbox here, and I don't want to do that for long. We are on the line with Laz, and I tell you, Laz, you have brought to us such absolutely incredible information. I wanted to share just a few moments of Ammon Bundy, of what really got my attention, if you don't mind. If you could, Mike, roll that Ammon Bundy call to action clip.
Ammon Bundy here. Wanted to talk about the Hammonds, give a little bit of an update. The Hammonds are a wonderful people. They are salt of the earth. Can't say enough about how good a people they are. I wish everybody could go out there and they could see and spend time with Dwight and Susie, spend time with Stephen, and see how humble and how good a people they are. See how they love ranching, that they love the earth. See how they care about their neighbors and how their neighbors talk about them. These are good people. One thing to note about the Hammond situation is that the Harney Basin is a large basin, and at one time it runs 60,000 head of cattle. And there was all kinds of ranchers, private ranches all across the whole Harney Basin. It's beautiful cattle country. Much better than the much easier than the ranch I came from. Anyhow, it was all privately owned at one time, all of it. And now, other than the Hammonds and a few others, it's primarily owned by the federal government. And how did that happen? How did it go from private property to being owned by the federal government? It's crucial that you understand what's going on here, what this issue is truly about. It's about our federal government taking over private properties adversely, or using the taxpayers' dollars after they ruin the ranchers to buy it. And there is no way to dispute the fact that at one time that land was developed by ranchers and was private property, and now it's claimed by the U.S. government. Now, the issue here is the federal government does not have authority from the people. It is not in the Constitution for them to go inside states and create wildlife refugees, national parks, because there are certain rules that they have to follow in order to do that. And those rules are in Article 1, Section 8, 17. In essence, it says that if the federal government is going to own land inside a state, they have to do three things. They have to get consent from the state legislatures, they have to purchase it, and they can only use it for the erection of forts, magazines, dockyards, and other needful buildings. You'll notice that it does not say wilderness areas, national parks, refuge areas, or even vast lands of vast open lands. It doesn't say that. It has very specific purposes in which the land can be used. It has to be get the consent from the state legislatures, and they have to purchase it from the proper owner. These lands have not been properly ceded to the federal government, and they're not being used for the proper purposes. And that is why the Hammonds are in the situation that they're in. Because if we had adhered to the Constitution and we would not allow the federal government to step outside its bounds, the Hammonds would never have the federal government trying to take their land. And if there was an issue of fires or anything else, then it would have been a county issue. And the county would have taken it up, and they would have been tried by a jury of their peers and of the county, the area, and they would have received justice. and they wouldn't have had to been abused and intimidated, and their ranches wouldn't have been taken. They wouldn't have had to pay the federal government hundreds of thousands of dollars in statutory fines. They would have been forced to give up first right of refusals to the BLM so that when they finally put them out of business, where they can't survive any longer, they have to sell it to the Bureau of Land Management. Okay? Now, many of you probably have seen a letter from the sheriff, David Ward, Harney County Sheriff. I openly am extremely disappointed with the sheriff.
I can understand why Ammon was upset with the sheriff, and that goes on deeper. We're going to share that clip out on social media in just a little while. I wanted to share with you where Ammon was coming from, where and why he took a stand that he felt that was absolutely necessary to take. And I want to also bring up, while you're on the line, Operation PatCon. This is something that I remained quiet about for a while because there was a dual reason I went to Oregon. A, I brought Ammon this documentation and covered this for Republic Broadcasting Network and the show. And B, I suspected that the federal government was intentionally instigating this, very similarly to some of the moves that Stalin did in the Soviet Union when he didn't infiltrate media and infiltrate the opposition. He actually created groups within the banner of his opposition in order to crush and demoralize the people by showing them if they stood and if they took a line against the state, that they would be destroyed. And it is my, Timothy McVeigh was a part of Operation PatCon. We saw Operation PatCon likely in Ruby Ridge and Waco. It was a federal government operation that has been, by official records, has been ceased. I don't believe that it ever ceased. And what I saw going from the, first of all, them lighting the fires and endangering the Hammonds Ranch, causing the Hammonds to have to take action to protect their ranch, then to use the law that was never intended to be used against American citizens. Well, it was, but the people were told that it was never intended to be used against American citizens. This act that was used against them, even the judge in the case said that he could not sentence them to the mandatory minimum, for if he did so, it would be a shock to the conscience. He let us. That piece of information, Laz, was one of the biggest red flags and most important pieces of information that people have not been talking about. What he revealed in that statement was that the federal government was deliberately and intentionally provoking and misusing the law in order to trigger a patriot movement. He knew that by doing this, he knew that if the federal government put these men in prison for any significant length of time, that there would be Americans who would take the position that Ammon felt he had to take. In other words, they knew that someone, if they didn't know that Ammon himself would do it, they knew that somebody very much like Ammon would do what they did. So, in other words, Operation PatCon is what Stalin called controlled opposition. How do you beat the opposition? You lead it. Well, what they did was they created these faux patriot groups that come rolling in and giving you a false sense of security. They come in and meet with the sheriff, and they come in and tell you that they've got this and everything's cool. Then they crush and they kill Lavoie. And this is what they call, what the Soviets called, demoralization. And they thought that the combination of their case and throwing these guys in prison, along with the murder of Lavoie, by trying to make it seem as though the folks, they intended for every one of them to die, I believe, but a certain controlled faction within the FBI, I don't believe that all FBI agents are bad, but there is a faction within the FBI that is as corrupt as gangsters are to the mafia, and they deliberately provoked these guys. And if there was an analysis made by someone who was quite obviously formerly special ops, who basically outlined how, why, and how they chose their location, how they chose the roadblock, why they chose it on a downward angle, all of the details of this tell us that this was an Operation PATCOM style movement. That is PATCON, Operation PATCON. I want all of my listeners out there, if you have not done so already, take to the internet and Google Operation PATCON, PATCON, and you will see why I went to Oregon. Now, when I got there, Laz, and I started investigating, the infiltrators knew what I was doing, and they created a holy hell for me there on the ground. And they did everything that they could to have me pushed out, but I never gave up. Lavoie and I sat the day before Lavoie died. Lavoie took me to a hotel where I was going to be publishing some of this information on what I thought was going on. And he dropped me off at the hotel. It wasn't my room. I believe Lavoie got the room. And he took off. And it wasn't until that following evening that I heard that he was killed. And of course, that is exactly what I expected was going to occur, only I thought that they were going to kill a lot more than just Lavoie. In fact, it was the steady nerve of Ammon and Ryan as to why the rest of them even survived. It was their steady nerve and their godly stand. Now, this is the one thing that these folks that are opposing us cannot understand, as that these folks are faithful spiritual people, and these folks cannot understand that process of the mind. They cannot understand it. They cannot understand faith, and they will continue to try and demoralize us. Now, I haven't really spoke to my listeners about my suspicions about this or why I truly went to Oregon, but I went there investigating what I believed was the federal government's operation to destroy the Patriot movement. Your thoughts, Laz?
Yes, but actually, you know what? We got a special guest, and Blaine's on the line, so I'd rather have Blaine answer that.
Blaine, okay. My brother. Blaine, and you know what? Blaine,
how you doing, probably, Thomas? Good to hear your voice.
Bless you, brother. You know what? Blaine, amongst everyone else, could probably actually, I'm sure, did you hear what I just said, Blaine?
Yes.
Okay.
It is telling that we do believe that the FBI may have set this whole thing up to take down the Patriot movement. And this is where
you
get a lot of informants. And the informants is a funny thing because they're confidential. And so you have a right in the court of law to face your accusers. Well, there's 15 that are unnamed right now that were confidential. So why is it with a judge who wanted a fair trial, or was supposed to have a fair trial? We know that in a kangaroo court such as the federal government, you don't get a fair trial.
That's right.
Why it's so hard to beat the system, because the system is biased in itself. In other words, the government are going to be divided against itself. It's just not going to happen. Jesus told us about that in the Bible, where he says, no kingdom, if any kingdom that was divided against itself, it would not stand. But what you're seeing is the Hibernian dialectic, and didn't we do a video on that one time, Thomas, where we talked about how the government will create a problem and offer the solution, and it creates another problem?
Hegelian dialectic, yes, we did.
Yes, and so here you have the federal government, who is clearly has a motive for whatever's in the dirt that might be worth some money to them. We had eyewitnesses come forward and say how the BLM and U.S. Fish and Game tried to drip torch and burn down the Hammond Ranch. This is a known fact. I believe Ammon has that video.
Yes.
And they came to the refuge and testified to this. And a big part of what we did was because all of our redress of grievances were ignored. We went through every legal channel that we could. We were ignored. The sheriff ignored us. We were ridiculed, and we were treated horribly. We treated everybody in Harney County with love, compassion, and respect. And a lot of the things that came from the informants were either blatant lies or made up information so they can get paid. So what they do with these people who contract with the federal government informants, they get large sums of money to get intel on you. And the better the intel, the more money they get paid. And so they have huge gain in profit. We saw that actually in history back in the witch trials where they took, well, for example, one woman and her daughter, they burned them at the stake. They had people who would go out and get information on them and give them back to the leaders of the time to condemn them to death for witchcraft. And interestingly enough, the woman and the daughter of the woman, the nine-year-old girl, they said that they were guilty of witchcraft because they took their stockings off before they went into the house and it rained. This is how ridiculous and how horrible government can be when it has clearly too much power and they use it to abuse people. And we found out that the Hammond is the first, I can't remember if it was the first or the second fire, but they lit the Backburn fire to put out the fire that the government started to try to burn that ranch down.
Yep.
And naturally, we even heard before that they were trying to get the Hammonds to sell their ranch, and they refused, and this was kind of their back door, didn't it? Well, then they said, well, we can't burn it down. We can't get them to sell, so what do? They charged the man with domestic terrorism for lighting federal grass on fire. On a fire they didn't even spend any resources to put out.
Yes, which their own testimony proved that actually the fire that even went onto the federal land improved the land at the time.
And we also got some intel. They don't know how accurate this intel is, but I believe it would be true, coming from the federal government, that they were told in the courtroom by a federal judge, if they challenged the system, that they were going to have an accident. Why is a federal judge telling
people
in an American courtroom that is truly sick? And
it is
so
sick.
And here we are with the problem. And so because of this, this is why we had a protest at the refuge. We thought it was the only way to get the national media attention, to get them to look into this. And instead of them investigating the BLM and the government, they were more worried about us and assassinating our character and condemning us to death and years in prison because we wanted justice for the Hammonds. We wanted justice for the American rancher and miner who are being oppressed across the western half of the United States. This is not an isolated incident. We saw it at the Bundy Ranch. We saw it at the Sugar Pine Mine operation. And we saw it at Operation Big Sky. Time and time again, it's the same story. Sugar Pine Mine, they were burning down people's homes on their claims because they said in 1945 or 55 that they were granted what they call surface rights to the area. So whatever on the surface they believe that they own, even though it's private property in their claim. And they built these really nice cabins on these claims so they can work up there and do the work so they don't have to drive back and forth to town. And what the BLM will do when they're gone, they'll walk onto the property and torch it without due process of law. They just do it just because they feel nobody's going to stop us. Why not? And this is where there has to be some kind of mechanism in place for transparency and accountability when government abuses its power. And if the people are ignored when they do this, what other recourse are we left than to take, not so much we take matters into our own hands, but to use our First and Second Amendment right under the God-given rights under the Constitution to say, we are not going to allow you to do this to us anymore. You need to leave us alone.
Yes, sir.
To continue further and elaborating, and what's the most sickening thing out of all this, and knowing what I know, and just sitting here, can't do anything, and our patriots are strong-handed, that there's a actual public law bill by Congress, which with respect to Ron Wyden himself being involved in this public law bill called 1134, gives any citizen the right to start a backfire under two conditions.
And the 1 minute left.
That is to...
I'm sorry about that, guys. I got about 60 seconds left. I'll call back and then...
continue. Blaine, you are welcome. Anytime you can call, Blaine. I never removed Third Watch Productions from our description in our videos. I love you, brother. I really do.
And I love you too, brother.
You stood by me.
I just want to give Jesus and I want to give God all the thanks and praise and glory for the acquittal today. This is a historic day and a huge win for our rights as citizens in this country. And God bless the Bundys for the stand they took. I wish I could have been there and fought with them in the trial, but they had too much dirt on me, and I didn't have a choice. But I hope now that we have this support, I think I got case law now to overturn the conviction, do I not?
I hope so, brother. I hope so. I pray so.
Hey, Tom, can I say something?
They're going to be
Hold on. Let Blaine talk.
Thank you for using security.
Well, I'll call back.
Goodbye.
Okay, call back.
Okay, I'll call you guys back.
Blaine is going to call back through Securicom. It is a jailhouse kind of telephone system. When he comes back on, Mike, please let me know as soon as he's on so that we give him every moment. I didn't know he was holding. What's that?
He'll call back. It's okay.
Okay, Laz, let me know when Blaine's on as soon as he comes back on, and we'll give him the floor immediately. He's going to be calling right back. Until then,
okay, calling right back.
My co-host, John. John, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to address what he was saying about, the need to be able to address the corruption in a meaningful way when the BLM and the federal government and these corrupt individuals are going in and they're stealing all these lands. Well, the main tools that we had was supposed to be the fourth branch of government, which is the media. The problem is the media has been so consolidated and controlled by such a handful of corrupt corporations, we don't have that fourth branch anymore to expose all this stuff. So I think one of the main things we need to do, beyond just resurrecting the Republic, is resurrecting the true media and breaking up this consolidation that's taken place and making sure that the real media, which is the alternative media today, isn't shut down.
John, hang on one second. Laz, is Blaine back?
Yes, he is.
Blaine, go.
Okay.
But anyway, I just want to say you're going to get an acquittal down here in Nevada, too, because I think the federal government knows now at this point that they don't have a case because we did do everything peacefully. We did do everything legally. And the only one, the only time that there was ever aggression, I've been in this movement for, over 3 years now. I played a big part in the Bundy Ranches, getting people organized to go there and stand for the right. And the only time this movement, that any violence or aggression was ever shown, was when the federal government murdered Robert LaVoy Finicum.
Well, I agree with you. And Blaine, while I have you on the line, the one time that, can we please lose the commercial for this? This is a special broadcast. Remember when LaVoy and you were filming, and LaVoy, I had found these artifacts, and David Fry, LaVoy Finicum, myself, and you were in the basement of one of these buildings, and we found these artifacts that were covered with rat feces next to a hot water heater that was going to blow. I mean, the thing was ancient, and we found these artifacts in such a condition, and they were trying to create a narrative that the Patriots were destroying these artifacts. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Well, this is interesting, and this is more of the media bias and how they'll use information and bits and pieces of it to destroy your character. We see, just look at the title on Fox News when we are at the Oregon occupation. They called us militants and the Bundy militia, and they used careful, clever terms of like extremism and things like that. Like these horrible people came out here and did a bad thing. One, they were empty buildings, nobody was there, and two, it was a protest. But here's how the media tricks people with these. And instead of, like, for example, when we did the press conferences, a lot of these press conferences had good information in it, and they were sometimes 20 to 30 minutes long. Well, what the media does is they'll take a 5-second clip, and they will spin their own agenda into their reports to demonize the cause or the voice of the people. And that's how the federal government gets away with killing people. The difference is now, in modern day era, we have the power of social media, and we have the power of everybody has a video camera now and can videotape of how it is. And part of my main thing there was what I was trying to do, especially with the press conference, I started uploading them unedited. I wanted people to see it for what it was and not what the media wanted people to see it for. And I think people got enough information out there to know that, hey, the media lie to us, and they do. They lie so bad to them when it doesn't fit their agenda or their scope of how they think the world should be. But the whole point of us having a constitution the way our founders established this country and our rights was so when government became too out of control that we had a right and a duty under the Declaration of Independence to throw off such government. But to the artifacts, I found it interesting that they had all these Native American artifacts, and I'm part Native American myself, and they are sacred things for the Native American people, the Paiutes, for example, and they were trashed. They were shoved in the basement, and they should have been in a museum or at least went to the Native American people. And the government just took horrible care of their buildings. They were covered in rat poo and feces, and we saw that. I did a video with Brand on that and posted it on Facebook. And the whole point of that was to give these artifacts back to the Native American people where they belong. And, you know, they used it as saying that we were destroying this stuff. And it was just absolute ludicrous. It did not happen. We did everything we could to be peaceful, lawful, abide by all state laws, and to expose it for what it was, because they were doing horrible things to people. The BLMs were doing a lot of horrible things to people. And we saw it at the Bundy Ranch when they were going to start shooting innocent American people standing with American flags.
Insane. It was insane. And I have to say that, Blaine, I never once saw you with a firearm. I never once saw you in any other capacity but getting information out as a media entity, as a voice of the people. You know, I have to say that you were even above me in peccability. Brother, you truly did put out the truth and information. And last I checked, the First Amendment is sacrosanct. And that should mean, brother, that you should not have a charge upon you.
And this is the argument I made with my attorney. But my attorney was so terrified, and this is how they scare you in the police. Well, the federal government always wins, is what they say. Uh-huh. And you don't have a chance. You might as well just plea out. It's only a six-month non-cooperative plea deal, and you can be back home with your kids. And I was like, well, but I didn't. That's not the point. The point is, if I didn't commit a crime, then I shouldn't be here. You know, yeah. My job was media. My job was to defend the truth and defend the cause of the Bundys with the truth, but making sure the public was getting word for word of what was going on there. That's why me and Ammon did updates every day to make sure that truth and the updates were going out to people in the best way we knew how.
Yes, I saw that.
We're not perfect. You know, we make mistakes, but we try our best. And don't you wish your government was as transparent as we are?
Blaine, I will be willing to testify for you in Nevada. Is that possible?
What's that?
Would you need me to testify for you in Nevada, or do you have Nevada charges?
I do have Nevada charges. Now, they got me into a non-cooperative plea deal for a golden resolution between the two incidents for 6 years. But if there's an acquittal, I think that means that I have grounds of case law to overturn the conviction. Because if the Bundys and everybody else was acquitted and was not guilty, then I cannot be guilty either, correct?
Right, and that's and yes. So, and the press
that is going to be my argument.
Now, yes, I will testify for you, Blaine.
But, I've been running into the dilemma where I'm going to try to pull my plea in Oregon based upon this case law to tell, you know, Krista, hey, if they're not guilty, then there is no possible way that I can be guilty, and then I need to have my case overturned at this point. So hopefully that happens. I'm sure now that we've had the not guilty plea and we got political support now, that wait a minute, maybe these guys aren't the bad guys that everybody tried to make them out to be, and these aren't good men who were standing for our rights and doing the right thing. And that's why freedom of speech is so powerful and so essential to a free nation, because with freedom of speech, we have the ability to hold our government accountable. The problem is we weren't able to get information out quick enough back in the past because the media was bought and paid for. But now with social media, when we can have our audiences and we have that ability to film them and to hold them accountable, and people can see them for who they are, that's what is going to be our saving grace in the end, because it shows, wait a minute, these guys are really innocent, and the only one displaying any aggression or any intimidation or making any threats of force or violence was the federal government, not the people.
Blaine, I just heard that there's a protest outside the jail now to release David Fry. Poor David. That kid has been so beat up, and I heard that he was trashed by the federal marshals. I just want to make it clear to you, brother.
Not surprising. What you're going to see now, because the federal government just got a huge black eye again, because now they took innocent men and condemned them in jail, destroyed their lives, destroyed their families, murdered a man, which was not even allowed to be mentioned in court, by the way. I mentioned Robert Lavoy Vinicum in the courtroom with Judge Anna Brown, and it doesn't go over very well. Or the Constitution, for that matter. The Constitution is a bad word to them. But it is the supreme law of the land. It is supposed to take precedent over any law that is contrary to it. Any. And that's how our nation was supposed to be. They were unalienable rights. The first ten amendments to the U.S. Constitution, and to protect us from this sort of thing. And that's why we have it. And we're not anti-government. We want our government to uphold our basic, fundamental, universal human rights.
We are the government.
Right.
We
the people,
the
right?
Blaine
so
Cooper. You,
they
Blaine
need to.
Cooper,
if there are human rights, then how hard is it to be like, you know what, sir? We may not agree with the way you're protesting, but you have a First Amendment right, and you have a Second Amendment. You guys look peaceful. When you guys are done, let us know. I mean, it's really as simple as that. Why is it so hard for them just to uphold those basic, fundamental human rights? And gee, I mean, where's the UN when you need them, for crimes against humanity, for crying out loud?
No, don't get me started with the United Nations, pal.
Yeah. I mean, it came out of the League of Nations, which the League of Nations was a disaster, and I'd argue so was the UN. I mean, we let people get up there and propaganda from every end of the earth now, but this is a historic victory in American history, and you know, I think you're going to see the same thing happen in Nevada. I'm confident that we did the right thing. And to that, I would say if the Bundy Ranch did not go down the way it did, that a lot of innocent people would have died.
Yes.
We know historically, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Wounded Knee, and a few other times in history, the federal government is notorious for slaughtering people that don't agree with them or won't submit to them. And we see that. I mean, look at Ruby Ridge. They shot a woman holding the baby in the face and a 14-year-old boy over the length of a barrel rifle of a shotgun. Well, doesn't the Second Amendment of the Constitution say shall not be infringed? I mean,
it's kind of simple language, isn't it?
It's simplistic in its view that would say that would that not be infringing on his right to bear arms? Absolutely it is. And so it doesn't say shall not be infringed because your barrel rifle's too short. It doesn't say shall not be infringed because you're a convicted felon. It does not say, it says shall not be infringed. You do your time, you go back, and you have a right to defend your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's a fundamental right. It should never, ever be compromised in any way. But people will argue, like for the First Amendment, for example, you can't see fire in a crowded building. Well, how many people do you know that are going to do that? Not very many. what you run into is you got one group of people trying to condemn the other 99.9% that try to prevent that half a percent that, or 1% that may do something. That's the slippery slope you run in, because you end up usurping everybody's rights once you go down that road.
Third watch, brother.
And see, why we run into the. That's why they say we use the word usurpation. It was never meant to be usurped. We were never meant to have 100 years or more of case law overriding the Constitution. The federal judge has an obligation to uphold the Constitution, not reinterpret it. To reinterpret or change or alter the Constitution in any way through case law, I would argue, has to go through the
amendment. You have 1 minute left.
Which is supposed to be, what, every state in the union?
Yes.
It's not easy to amend the Constitution, so why do we got a federal judge trying to decide for 300 million Americans, well, you have a right to bear arms, but if your barrel rifle's too short, we're going to come in and give you what they did to Skyler Bobeau. They're trying to give him 10 years in prison. This is barrel rifle.
Yes, sir.
Give me a break.
Yes,
who is a good, honorable Marine who served our country well?
Oh, I loved how you took
I got 1 minute. Do I got time to call back, son?
You can call back as many times as you'd like, brother.
Well, I'll call back one more time. I gotta take a shower. They're probably locking us down soon, so.
I hear you, brother.
Yeah, we'll
you
get,
call
we'll
back.
Get 15 more.
You go ahead and you call us back.
All right, brother.
Well, folks, this is Blaine Cooper. He's in jail, and the Patriots have been let free tonight, and they still have Blaine. Blaine and I just tweeted
Thank
out on social media.
I just
tweeted out on social media a video that Blaine took while he, Lavoie, David Fry, and I were in the basement of one of the buildings at the Mialhoor National Wildlife Refuge, otherwise known as the Harney County Resource Center, where I discovered a certain amount of Native American and Paleolithic artifacts, of which were being stored in rat feces and next to a hot water heater that was ready to explode. The thing was ancient, old, and rotted. And these things had been down there for decades. Now, this is the same federal government's store, their boxes. This is the same government that tried framing the folks there at Mialhoor as desecrating and destroying Native American artifacts.
Blaine on the line again, guys.
Okay, Blaine is back on the line. Blaine, you're back?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to say real quick, don't you find it interesting, in all of this, not once did we steal anything. Not once did we hurt anybody. Not once did we point a weapon at anybody. Did we advocate violence? And the federal government was so angry that we were holding them accountable for what they did wrong, that instead of doing the right thing, they used their power to not only murder Lavoie, but destroy the lives of hundreds of Americans around the United States.
Yes.
Hundreds. Destroyed their lives. Some of these people have businesses. These people are family men who take good care of their wives and their kids. Do you have any idea what it's like to be on the phone with your 9-year-old daughter and her tell you, Daddy, can I come to jail with you so you can protect me?
Oh, wow.
I go through that with my daughter every night. Every night.
Your little girls. People, I miss those little girls. God bless them. They are the best two little girls I've ever met in my life. They're so sweet. They're the sweethearts. Good girls you have, brother.
I did a really good job with them, and, you know, as you know, I grew up in an abusive home. And you know, I love my mom and dad. They were both police officers for the city of Phoenix for 30 years. They were good cops. But I grew up in a rough household, and I was abused by my father, my biological father, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I was always told that I would never amount to anything in my life. That I could, but I never let that get me down. But I'm glad I went through it, because I knew how not to treat my kids. I knew what I needed to do to let my kids know how loved they are. And you see that with my kids. The kids get good grades in school. They know Daddy's proud of them. You know, I was there for them since they were born. And this is the first time that they've ever had to be away from their daddy, and it is destroying them.
Well, I have to tell you, I've spent some time with you out there in Arizona.
At least we know the government is good for one thing, and that is making a mess of things.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I have to back you up. You are one heck of a father. Your girls are two of the most well-behaved, honorable little girls. I mean, they're just extraordinary what you've done with those girls. You and Melissa, I have to tell you, I've always admired you, and I told you that before. Your girls are the best, and they love you. They love you with a love that is so strong and so pure. You don't get that from being a bad dad, brother. You don't belong where you are. I will testify for you in Nevada if you need me to. You just tell your lawyer. You let them know. I'll give my contact information to Laz. You tell them to contact me. And you were media at all times. You were unarmed at all times at the Bundy Ranch.
Right.
And you were sharing information is all you were doing when you were there, brother. That is it. And for them to try and make a case out of that in Nevada, to me, is not only a travesty of justice, but it's deceptive, and it is wrong.
Right.
And
right.
And I will testify
like I
for
pimped.
You.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. You know, this is why I have Laz. You know, I have Laz reach out to you because did he show you the documentation we have or he has?
He did. He sent me a bunch of it.
You know what's even scarier? That the federal government is so blatantly perverse that they would allow a government official on the jury. You don't get more bias than that.
I know. So, God.
Hey, we got a whole jury full of BLM agents. Well, I wonder how that's going to work out for us.
Right.
And thank God we had a jury that was smart enough to see through it and go, something's wrong here. And God bless the jury for standing up and saying something about that.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
And it's just, I'm so happy right now. The faith of the Bundys is a faith that I've never seen before. And they are so devout and so strong in their faith. They know God will pull them through the fire, will pull them through anything. And I wish I could give Ryan and all my brothers a hug right now. I miss them so much.
Well, you just did.
You know,
I'm going to pass this to him. Hey, Blaine, give Ammon and Ryan a message right now. Talk to them directly, and I will cut it, and I will send it to them.
Boy.
Talk to Ammon and Ryan.
I want to tell Ammon and Ryan and the rest of my brothers out there that your courage is unmatched, and your faith is unmatched, and the love that I was shown by you, not only you, but your family, Carol and Clive, is a love I've never experienced before because I didn't experience that in my own family. And I'm proud of you guys for standing your ground. And thank you for standing for my life. Thank you for defending my rights. I don't know what else to say, man. I'm just beside myself with joy right now. You know, we're not out of the woods yet. But
I love you, brother.
Let me share one bit of excitement news. David
Laz,
Fry's
go ahead, Laz.
David Fry is about to get released.
Excellent. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that.
Now, one thing I do want to note, I was told by my attorney that they are adamantly, and she was adamant about this, that the federal government is bringing down an indictment on the Sugar Pine Mine operation.
I heard.
So, I don't know if that's going to happen, but if it does, I just want people that were a part of the operation to be warned that we were told that, and to do what you need to do to, because you don't know when these guys will come from you. I was told by a sheriff that they can actually secretly indict you for 10 years before they bring down, before they come to the rescue. You
know, under the NDAA and Patriot Act, yes.
Yeah, but your life is ruined. Yeah, you got the, I mean, geez, you got the Patriot Act, the Freedom Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, but it has nothing to do with freedom or liberty. It has nothing to do with patriotism.
Well, let me get this on the record. Let me get this on the record. If anybody gets arrested with respect to the Sugar Pine Mine, the first thing you want to do is subpoena Stuart Rhodes to appear and produce under the investment called XV Investments, where he has silver and gold investments in there. And there's a couple other individuals. I'll be releasing names at the time, at the appropriate time, because it's a whole different county. And we haven't touched that. Just because of that, the day that anybody needs that information, all you can do is reach out to me. I'll probably even just start throwing that information out for certain people to have it, just in case they decide to make me disappear. But Stuart Rhodes should be on everybody's number one hit list on subpoena to appear and produce.
Gotcha. I do want to say I find it interesting, Laz, and Thomas Meany have talked about this when we were talking about like the RNC and the DNC and the stronghold of the corporation and banks over our presidential election.
And
there's money everywhere to be made. And it when you really want to look at the motive behind a government and why things are happening the way they do, look for the money trail. Look for the resources, because that's where the wealth is. And that's the big reason you're seeing a lot of these federal land grabs. America's broke and bankrupt. They kicked out too much money. And so now they want, you know, they're on the hook. What are they going to do? So they start taking over these lands that are rich in natural resources. They make billions. They don't care who they screw. They don't care who they destroy to get them. And it's wrong to do that to somebody who, especially like the Bundys, who are just trying to run cattle and feed their family and just wanted to be left alone, and they come in and they terrorize people just so they can. I don't know why they do what they do. They wouldn't be doing it if they weren't gaining something out of it. But I find it funny because some of the liberals came to the refuge and had talked with us and said something about, well, if the government doesn't control the land, then the corporations will. I hate to burst your bubble. The corporations are using the branches of government. The strong arm people off the land for the resources. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, yeah, and you're exactly right. Blaine, there's two things I got to tell you on this, and I want to refresh it for the audience. Why they gave them the armed militia or terrorist militia, whatever name Les Zakes wanted to give our militia, who drove this drumbeat in respect to turning the narrative and turning the media against the Patriots here in Harney County is Les Zates, Scott Acalister, King Williams, Melissa Williams, and there's one more, and Lyndon Zates. Basically, a family organized crime under Operation Mockingbird, where they can distort the truth, the narrative. And prime example, I beg everybody to go back to Fox News and watch and listen to Lou Dove. Les Zates was on it, and basically Les Zates spinning the narrative to his beat, and it was kind of like disappointing that nobody subpoenaed him, and the way he was putting titles on the Patriots, and if everybody goes back, you got a perfect lawsuit for defamation and slander on that. Other one on the land, like I said earlier, there's a public law bill 1134, which gives any citizen to start a backfire under two conditions. One, if there's a destruction of public property, public or private property, and the other one is human life. And why didn't Ron Whiting step forward with respect to this public law bill that he pushed through Congress? Right, and this bill was passed in 1998-99. So if anybody should be held accountable, it should be Ron Wyden. But then you ask yourself, what does Ron Wyden have to gain? Well, look at the hedge fund with his son. Through Adam Wyden of the hedge fund. There's several hedge funds, and it goes through a corporation which was created by Oregon through the Oregon legislature. It's called the Legislative Investment Council. And once you see the Oregon Investment Council, you'll understand the hedge funds, all the hedge funds, and that's where Anna J. Brown, Jeff Merkley, Ron Wyden, Greg Walden, Gordon Smith, Kate Brown, Boyd Britton, Cliff Bent, C. Stephen E. Grassley, David Ward, all these people that were appointed in their position have money in that hedge fund.
They're on the document, right? Their names are signed on the document?
On the documents with respect to the hedge funds, on Anna J. Brown, Ron White, and Greg Walden, yes.
This Justin, David Fry
is
free.
Isn't that inside trading?
Folks, David Fry is free. He just walked out of the jail.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
I love you, David Fry. I love you, brother.
I love you too, brother. You know, it was good working with you, man. I can't wait to talk to David.
You know, I wanted to touch on something, Thomas.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The night Lavoy was killed.
Yeah.
The tension was really high at the refuge, and a lot of people didn't like the fact that I left there. And the point I was trying to make to all of them of why we had to leave, had there been some kind of violence or skirmish or shootout, which nobody wanted that. It was supposed to be peaceful. But
yeah.
Could have totally changed the paradigm and all of it. And
yes, it
could
have.
That's why I told them, I said, we have to be peaceful and leave at this point. We made our point.
Blaine, you took leadership.
I did not want to see the federal government come in there and murder a bunch of... I didn't want to see my brothers die. I had to make a choice that night to be like,
Blaine,
we have to go.
My brother, you took leadership, and from what I heard was a little bit different than the memes that went out. What I heard was that not only did you take leadership and take those people under your wing, but you led
them
away to safety. And Blaine, I don't second guess your decision. I do not second guess it. I admire you for doing what you did. Lavoie and Ammon both told you that they were there to come in peace and make this stand, and you followed that directive, and I commend you for it.
Yes, sir. Got to maintain the moral high ground on to the end. You cannot compromise your moral high ground, ever.
Amen.
I got documentation from January 19th.
I love you guys. It's going to hang up.
I love you too, brother. I love you too, man. Oh, man. There's Blaine. Folks, we only have a couple minutes left, and I have to tell you, Blaine did take some heat for making that decision, but we were given, all of us were given special instructions by Ammon and Lavoie and Ryan that we were to maintain the high moral ground. We were to maintain the high moral ground, and we were to remain peaceful at all times. And we were to not do anything offensive in any way, that we were only to defend, especially the women, but we were to defend lives. But that being said, to take the high moral ground, that is what I was there to do. And Blaine got to see, Blaine more than anyone else got to see, my attempts to keep a clean Christian broadcast going from the location brought me more heat than you will ever understand. What was going on there was a psychological operation. They had infiltrated that compound, and there were people that knew that people that were trying specifically to hold the high moral ground were attacked. My electronic devices were taken. They were purged, they were erased, and then they were returned. There were things that I haven't even talked to my audience about that I went through when I was there at Mount Hure. Folks, we've run out of time. Laz, you have to come back, Laz. How about tomorrow night, Laz?
Perfect. Sounds terrific.
All right. Tomorrow night, Laz will be back with us, and we will continue exactly where we left off. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tune in tomorrow night. Don't miss it. We're going to have much more information for you. God bless you all. We will see you there.
Photo ops. You're listening. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.